Chapter 3, The Objectives of Accountability Now.
Constitutionally speaking, Southern Africa is an interestingly diverse geographical area. Accountability Now regards Southern as reference to any African country which is at least partially south of the equator. This area includes some countries which are not part of the Southern African Development Community, or SADC, customs union, the oldest customs union in the world. The variety of forms of government in Southern Africa ranges from the regular constitutional democracies of the 21st century, in place in most countries, to the absolute monarchy in Eswatini, formerly known as Swaziland. The constitutional monarchy in Lesotho sees the king in the role not unlike that of Queen Elizabeth in the United Kingdom. The recently terminated kleptocracy in Angola saw its president's daughter become the richest woman in Africa. When he retired, President José Eduardo dos Santos tried to secure immunity from prosecution for his entire family. His successor is having none of that. The dictatorship in Zimbabwe, with its rigged elections and rampant hyperinflation and strange land policies, recently reversed, plays only the most perfunctory lip service to the rule of law. Mozambique is in the process of recovering from the issuing of a post-independence government gazette which abolished the entire legal system of the country. In Zambia, a Lancaster House post-independence constitution morphed into a one-party state that has since embraced multi-party democracy. Kenya has a 2010 constitution modeled on the miracle constitution that was put in place in South Africa when it ended apartheid almost peacefully and held the first election in which all of its citizens and residents were able to participate in 1994. In Tanzania, the social model of Julius Nyerere has given way, somewhat tentatively, to a multi-party system of constitutional democracy. It is in Botswana and Namibia, both large countries with small population, as well as the Indian Ocean Islands, that modern democracy has fared best in Southern Africa. The region is a smorgasbord of systems sporting varied degrees of constitutionalism in action. The Institute for Accountability in Southern Africa, which now campaigns as Accountability Now, was formed in 2009 and chose its name on the basis that no matter what form of governance is in place, a government which is accountable is always better, irrespective of the system, than one which is unaccountable to the needs of the people governed. Based in Cape Town, Accountability Now seeks to exact accountability and to promote responsiveness to the needs of ordinary people in Southern Africa. Formed by a lawyer and a now deceased human resources manager, it has grown in size and in the scope of its activities over the years. The month of February 2011 was devoted in large part to participation in the African Peer Review Mechanism mission to Zambia, a mission which succeeded in informing constitutional amendments in accordance with the rule of law and the establishment of checks and balances on the exercise of authority. Accountability Now provided the legal expertise to litigants who were, after two appeals, able to establish a general class action in the law of South Africa, not by legislation, but by the responsible exercise of judicial power by the Constitutional Court itself, a creation of the 1994 changes. Class action litigation in respect of human rights infringements or threats to human rights is known in the Constitution itself, but a general class action had to be developed by the courts as the government did not want to give litigants a stick with which to beat it. An application by activist Terry Crawford Brown to compel the appointment of a commission of inquiry into the infamous 1999 arms deals negotiated by the new South African government with the arms dealers of several countries in Europe was run by Accountability Now. The case was eventually settled when the president capitulated and appointed the commission. Later, its findings, which were far too executive-minded, were set aside on review. Perhaps Accountability Now is best known for its role in the campaign of Johannesburg businessman Hugh Glenister to protect the independence of the anti-corruption machinery of state in South Africa. Unlike any other public interest litigant in history, he has approached the Constitutional Court on three separate occasions to fight his cause. First, and prematurely so, he tried to head off the dissolution of the effective Scorpions Unit of the National Prosecuting Authority. It was closed down through the repeal of irrelevant legislation, mainly because it was a nuisance to crooked businesses and politicians. The court advised him to let the legislative process run its course and to come back if he was not satisfied with the new law. He was not so satisfied. Next, he succeeded in persuading the narrowest of majorities possible in the Constitutional Court, 5 justices to 4, that the replacement for the Scorpions was not sufficiently independent in the form of a police unit called the Hawks to counter corruption effectively and efficiently with an adequate degree of operational and structural independence. Finally, after the Hawks legislation was tweaked as little as possible, Glenister returned to question the placement of the Hawks within the police. He failed, and to challenge the inadequacy of the reform ordered by the court, he succeeded in part. The role of Accountability Now in devising, running, and organizing the Glenister trilogy attracted the attention of the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung. Invitations to conferences and to co-host conferences followed, and the Accountability and Anti-Corruption Program of the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung has become a byproduct of the strong relationship which has been built up between Accountability Now and the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung's Rule of Law Program for Sub-Saharan Africa, based in its Nairobi office. Accountability Now has become the champion in Southern Africa of the idea of establishing integrity commissions or independent commissions against corruption in countries in which the inadequacy of the anti-corruption entities in place, irrespective of their fine-sounding titles, presents a problem. This idea is based upon the best practice form of implementation of the victories won in the Glenister litigation. A country-by-country audit is needed of both the operations and structures of existing anti-corruption entities. From the audits, their reform should flow to comply with what have become known as the STIRS criteria laid down by the Constitutional Court of South Africa in the 2011 Glenister Majority Judgment. This acronym stands for Specialized, Trained, Independent, Resourced, and Secure. We shall return to it in more detail. In countries in which civil society and academia are strong, it is feasible to conduct the audit internally. Otherwise, an audit by those involved continent-wide in the work of the African Union's African Peer Review Mechanism is conceivable as part of the program of the African Union to address the rampant corruption that blights the sustainable development of the entire continent. Review of anti-corruption machinery is also possible under the terms of the UN Convention Against Corruption, known as UNCAC, Article 5. A trustee, Justice Richard Goldstone, and a director of Accountability Now, Paul Hoffman, serve on the board of Integrity Initiatives International, a Boston-based non-governmental organization which is advocating the creation of an international anti-corruption court to function against grand corruption, kleptocracy, and state capture in much the same way as the International Criminal Court
tackles crimes against humanity and genocide.
Became necessary for accountability now to sue the government, always to good effect, to complain to the public protector, an ombud body in South Africa, about maladministration, to lay criminal charges, and to constantly hold the administration to account for its many and varied attempts to paint outside the lines of the Constitution. It is not without significance that the Constitution expressly provides that conduct or laws that are inconsistent with it are invalid. The pattern of the behaviour of those with their hands on the levers of power in South Africa, both politically and administratively, is one that is oft repeated throughout Africa and elsewhere in the developing world. It is a pattern that is premised on the exercise of power for selfish gain, not the incumbency of office as a means of service to the people. It is instructive to compare what the Constitution requires with the way in which the Zuma administration was run. This can best be demonstrated by comparing the constitutional democracy way forward envisaged for South Africa at the time of the 1994 transition from apartheid dictatorship to non-racial democracy on the one hand, with the realities of the African National Congress's National Democratic Revolution as they have emerged during the subsequent 25 years on the other. The National Democratic Revolution is an invention of Lenin shortly after the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. Its ideology has not succeeded anywhere it has been tried in the world. Accountability Now has done a detailed comparison of the difference between constitutional values and the goals of the revolution. The recent presidential declarations regarding upholding constitutionalism and the rule of law are going to be perceived to be no more than lip service by astute observers familiar with the diktats of the ANC's National Democratic Revolution, the practice of ANC cadre deployment, and the supra-constitutional political and economic hegemony that has been entrenched in South Africa. The autocratic response to the pandemic of coronavirus disease in 2019 by the South African government has revealed its longing for hegemonic control of all the levers of power in society. New investment in South Africa would be greatly improved if the ANC were to